cha yuvam slagyat tamo nunam dehinam ihamanada narayane kila guro yatkrita matir idrishi. Sri Uddhava said, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings. Purport. Understanding Nanda's mood as expressed by his statement, Manye Krishnam cha Ramam cha Praptav iha Surotamo, I think Krishna and Rama must be two exalted demigods. Uddhava here referred to Krishna as Lord Narayan. Etho hi vishvasya cha bija yoni ramo mukunda purusha pradhanam anviya bhuteshu vilakshanesya jnanasya cheshat imo purano. These two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of living beings and control their conditioned awareness. They are the primeval supreme. Purport, the word vilakshana means either distinctly perceiving or confused, depending on how the prefix vi is understood in context. In the case of enlightened souls, vilakshana means perceiving the correct distinction between the body and the soul, and thus Lord Krishna, as indicated by the word ishate, guides the spiritually advancing soul. The other meaning, vilakshana, confused or bewildered, clearly applies to those who have not understood the difference between the soul and the body, or the distinction between the individual soul and the supreme soul. Such bewildered living beings do not go back home, back to Godhead, to the eternal spiritual world, but rather achieve temporary destinations according to the laws of nature. It is understood from all Vaishnava literature that Sri Ram, Balaram, here accompanying Lord Krishna, is non-different from him, being his plenary expansion. The Lord is one, yet he expands himself. Thus Lord Balaram in no way compromises the principles of monotheism. Translation, Uddhava said, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings. Here we find so beautifully explained the conversation between Sri Uddhava and Sri Nanda Maharaj in Braj Bhumi. Uddhava has come upon the instruction of Lord Sri Krishna for the purpose of giving some external understanding that Krishna had not forgotten the residents of Vrindavan. From within the core of their hearts, Krishna, in his all-merciful bhava expansion, is reciprocating the feelings of love and separation with all of the Brijvasis. And they are experiencing his presence so predominantly in their life. In fact, his presence is saturating them, drowning them in the ocean of his most beautiful and loving qualities. Krishna is an ocean of transcendental divine qualities. And in these feelings of separation, the residents of Vrindavan are literally drowning deeply in that ocean. But in order to make such ecstasy and separation possible, the Lord found it conducive to physically leave what they could perceive with their senses, their external senses. So on one hand, internally, they were immersed in associating with Krishna in a more intimate way than ever before, but their external mind and senses were feeling bereft. The eyes were longing to see Krishna. The ears were just longing to hear his beautiful voice. Their limbs were so much eagerly awaiting the moment they can again touch him or embrace him. Nanda and Yashoda, their noses were just longing and longing to smell the fragrance of his beautiful body. In this way, all of their senses were completely immersed in Krishna. It is explained in the Padma Purana, Saravopadiva Nirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate, that by using the same senses that we have now in the service of the Lord of the senses, Krishna controls our senses. The senses are very difficult to control. Krishna says in Gita, yatato hi bikonteya purushascha vipaschata indriyani pramatini haranti prashama mana, that the senses are so strong and impetuous that even a great soul who is on the path of yoga is often overwhelmed and overcome by the fastidious demands of the senses. Hani saravani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asyandriyani tasya pragya pratishtita. But one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So in the path of bhakti, athasri krishna namani nabhavedrayam indriyai sevan mukehi jivado swayam evas puratyada, the same senses that are now dragging us to so many lower activities, diverting our attention away from the truth, when they are simply connected to Krishna through service, then those senses, nirmalam, they become purified. And those activities purify our mind and purify our heart. Because Krishna is all pure. Whatever comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. The Vrijvasis, they had attained, by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, the ultimate perfection of sense gratification. Because their senses would not aspire for anything else but to please Krishna. They would take no substitute. They had no interest. An ordinary person or a neophyte devotee, if there is some impediment in their spiritual lives, some reversal by which they are not actively experiencing Krishna, where they have no specific engagement in devotional service, then inevitably they turn to sense gratification. But here are the Brijvasis. Krishna left them completely. But each one of their senses was simply longing to be reunited with Krishna. In fact, Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu this principle of Manobhiram. Srila Prabhupada defines Manobhiram as just as a young boy and a young girl, their senses are, and minds are very much longing to be united with one another. In the same way, but of course on a very pure and divine platform, our mind and senses should simply be longing to be with Krishna. So internally, Nanda and Yashoda were so deeply in the presence of Krishna, united with Krishna. But externally, their senses were simply longing, longing in separation from Krishna. They were practically drying up. They practically could not eat or sleep. The only thing that was maintaining their lives was the hope that Krishna would return. So Krishna, out of his inconceivable love, he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. So there can be some physical confirmation for all the Brijvasis that Krishna is always thinking of them. That Krishna is still in his heart experiencing and exchanging the love of the Brijvasis. Of course, Uddhava, how fortunate he was. He was living constantly with Krishna. He was the constant companion of Krishna in Mathura and later on in Dwaraka Dham. It is a fact in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami explains how Narada Muni, he was going to various personalities trying to understand who has the highest and deepest love of God. Ultimately, so many places, he went to some great wealthy man performing yajna. "You are so dear to the Lord." He said, no, I am not so dear to the Lord. I am performing this yajna and I am doing so much seva to the sadhus, but Indra, what kind of yajna he's doing? He went to Indra. Indra, you are so dear to the Lord. You are such a lover of Krishna, Narayan. He said, "Why you are saying like this to me? If I loved him so much, why did I throw all those thunderbolts and rains over Vrindavan where he had to lift the Govardhan hill?" He said, "I am so proud. I have offended him so many times. I may be doing some yajna, but look at what Lord Brahma is doing." He went to Lord Brahma. "Lord Brahma, you are such a great devotee. You are the greatest lover of God. You are saying I am the greatest lover of God? I stole Krishna's calves and cowherd boys. That's love? I forgot that he was God even? I'm not very good. If you want to know who's really a great devotee, but plus look at me, I'm surrounded by all this material opulence. Lord Shiva, he's renounced everything. He's detached everything to serve the Lord. You should go to Lord Shankar." He went to Lord Shiva. "Oh, you are such a great devotee, the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna." Shankar said, "Why you are saying like this? I'm such a great devotee. Look who I'm associating with, all kinds of people. I'm always associating with non-devotees. And besides that, sometimes I even fight with Krishna. Vanasura was an enemy of Krishna, and I took his side and personally fought against him. Not a very good devotee. If you want to understand who a great devotee is, Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is always thinking of Krishna with such love and such devotion. So he went to Prahlad. Ah, Prahlad, you are the greatest devotee of Krishna. Such love you have. I want to associate with you. Prahlad says, what nonsense you're speaking. What am I doing? Yes, it's true that Lord Narsingadev protected me because I was so helpless and I was chanting his name and always remembering him. But what service am I doing? I'm just sitting here remembering him all the time, and the Lord has to come to save me. But Hanuman, he's saving the Lord. He's not just waiting for the Lord to come and save him. He's so much immersed in seva that when the Lord was in difficulty, he picked up the Gandamandana mountain and brought it back and protected him. He would, any order, he was ready to fulfill. You should go to Hanuman. He went to Hanumanji. Hanumanji, you are the best devotee of the Lord. How you are always engaged in his loving service with no other thought in your mind than just pleasing Lord Ram. He said, yes, it's true, I'm a servant. I carry out orders, but that's not a very high thing, just to carry out orders. The Pandavas, they're the Lord's friends. They eat with the Lord, they sleep with the Lord, they joke with the Lord. Being a friend is much higher than being just the order carrier. So we went to Hastinapur, and there was Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, Arjuna, and Yudhisthira Maharaj. And he approached all of them. Oh, you are such great and dear devotees of Lord Krishna. Who is more exalted than you? You are intimate friends with Krishna. Intimate friends? Bhima, I'm such an intimate friend. Why I'm overeating so much? Devotees are supposed to be very self-controlled, and I become very angry when things go wrong, you have seen. And Arjuna said, if I'm such a dear devotee of the Lord, why? I doubted him at the beginning of the Battle of Kurukshetra, and he had to preach to me all of these Bhagavad Gita teachings just to convince me to fight. If I'm such a great devotee, why didn't I just do it? Huh? Actually, they said, besides that, Krishna left us. We're sitting here in Hastinapur, and Krishna's in Dwarka. If we're such intimate, loving friends, why he left us? King Ugrasena. Krishna's doing everything for him in Dwarka. He's really a great lover of Krishna. So Narada Muni went to Dwarka, and he went to Maharaj Ugrasena, and he started praising. Ah, you are so dear, such a devotee, such love for Krishna you have. Yes, of course, he's here. He's serving me because I'm his grandfather. But his position with me is respectful to a grandfather and somewhat official because I'm king. But who's the best devotee? It's Uddhava. Uddhava's with him 24 hours a day. He eats with Uddhava. He sleeps with Uddhava. He jokes with Uddhava. Wherever he goes, whatever he likes to do, he does it with Uddhava. And everyone knows this. He is his most intimate, fast friend in all the world. And then he went to find Uddhava, and Uddhava, sure enough, was in the room with Krishna. And he came out weeping and crying. Balaram was there, Rohini was there, Devaki was there. They were all so worried about Krishna. The various queens of Dwarka, Satyabhama, Rukmini, they were there. But Uddhava was alone with Krishna in the room, and he came out weeping and crying. What's wrong? That Krishna's in an unconscious state. He's just weeping himself, just chanting the names of the gopis of Vrindavan. He cannot bear the separation from them. He's practically blind and unconscious in separation from the residents of Vrindavan. And Rukmini said, yes, when he sleeps at night, he just starts calling out the name of Sri Radharani and the other gopis. And Satyabhama said, yes, Krishna has told me that all of us queens all put together don't equal one damsel of Braja. When Narada Muni saw this, he could understand. What is the quality of the love
of the Vrijvasis.
It is unparalleled, unsurpassable.
It is supreme.
And then Narada Muni came to Vrindavan, and he started praising the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And in this way, he understood, and he said, ultimately, he made a promise that he would play his veena and chant the glories of the love of the residents of Vrindavan wherever he goes. So Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, his most intimate and fast friend of Dwarka, who he was constant companion with, just so that he would see the quality of the love of the Brajbasis. When he heard Nanda Maharaj speak, how he's so intimately remembering Krishna in such a way that Uddhava was thinking, Nanda Maharaj, you are most fortunate. Nanda Maharaj was simply weeping and crying tears, just longing to be with Krishna again. And Yashodamai, she was speechless. She could not say a word. Milk was flowing from her breast in parental affection. She was just crying and crying and crying, her eyes practically blind. She could not look at anything in this world except Krishna. She couldn't even look at anyone. Her eyes were so blinded with tears, because in her heart's eye, she was just seeing Krishna. And when Uddhava saw this, he was struck with wonder. Although he was seeing them externally appearing to be in the most torturous possible condition, Uddhava, it explains, he joyfully addressed Nanda and Yashoda, because he could understand that this longing of separation was the greatest fortune and the highest divine ecstasy. So he is saying that, Nanda and Yashoda, you are the most praiseworthy persons, you are the most fortunate in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings. And Nanda Maharaj, when he heard Uddhava saying like this, it was intolerable for him. How can you say that we are the most fortunate? Devotees are so humble. To the degree that we are immersed in real love of God, we become so humbled by that love. Material love, or neophyte conception of love and Krishna consciousness, sometimes makes one a little proud that I am feeling some love, so I'm very advanced. But real love, pure love, makes that love is so, it has such weight that it defeats your mind and your senses. And you become completely humbled by that love, because the qualities of Krishna, which are so super excellent, completely inundate all of your own sense of egoism. And here Maharaj Nanda will be saying that, actually, Uddhava, you are so inexperienced and immature in your understandings. You are just a child. Because Uddhava was about the same age as Krishna, so he was like Nanda's son. You are like a child, Uddhava. What nonsense you're talking that we are the most fortunate. We are the most unfortunate. You are saying that he is the Lord Narayan. He was living amongst us, and we didn't even know who he was. We didn't even appreciate him. We neglected him in so many ways. Although he showed us so much of his affection, so much of his attention,
how much we neglected him, how much we mishandled him. And because of that, we've lost him.
In Krishna consciousness, we should know that Krishna will give us. And to the degree we utilize what Krishna gives us to our full capacity, he will give us more and more and more. But if we neglect in any way what he gives us, he will take it away. We see, even amongst devotees, the association of devotees is such a rare gift of Krishna. If we are neglectful toward properly respecting and serving the Vaishnavas, or if we are offensive toward the Vaishnavas, then Krishna from within the heart is going to send us away. In this way, take away that valuable association. Or he will simply take away the association. If great souls are in our midst and we do not properly take advantage of that, Krishna will take such a great souls away. Either by bewildering our own intelligence and making some justified reason to leave the association of devotees, or by just taking the association of devotees away from us. This is all Krishna working. Because we are offensive or we are neglectful. Of course, sometimes when we are very positive and very loving and very respectful and very serving, Krishna will take it away by some inconceivable reason, but we will always be longing to be with them. And in that way, he has not taken them away at all. But we should know that anything Krishna gives us, if we neglect it, he will not allow us to keep it for very long. And it is law, also a law of material nature. If you have something and you don't use it, the power of that, it's taken away. It's wasted. So here we find Nanda Maharaj is using this logic out of his utter humility. And he's so intoxicated by feelings of remembrance of Krishna in love that he's saying like this. If a man has the most wonderful jewel, a touchstone, philosopher's stone, which can turn iron into gold, it's so valuable. What has more value than this in the worldly sense? And he doesn't know how valuable it is. He thinks it's just an ordinary stone. And he's not going to take very good care of it. He's going to neglect it. And if such a person who has such a stone, because of not knowing its value, if he just treats it so ordinary that he loses it, that person is the most unfortunate. A person who's never had such a philosopher's stone is not very unfortunate, but a person who's had it, neglects it, and loses it is the most unfortunate. And Nanda Maharaj said, that is our position. We had the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, living amongst us, but we didn't recognize him. We didn't know who he was. We treated him like an ordinary child. We neglected him. Sometimes we punished him. Sometimes we chastised him. Sometimes we would take away food and make him fast. We had Krishna with us. But now we've lost him due to our own misconduct. We are the most unfortunate. Uddhava, you should understand this is the fact. Why you are speaking crazy? And what could Uddhava say? Uddhava was simply praying in the core of his heart, O Krishna, thank you for sending me to Vrindavan. I did not know what prema bhakti was until I came to Vrindavan. I was thinking, living in Mathura, I knew what love of God was.
I was thinking how to love you was something that I was understanding and practicing in my life. But you have sent me to show me that I don't even know what love of Krishna is. The residents of Vrindavan, their ocean of love is making me feel very humble and insignificant. And I'm with you day and night. And they never see you. They never touch you. They never hear you. And yet how their hearts are utterly absorbed in you and only you. This was Uddhava's realization. And through this beautiful story, we can get some small glimpse of what is Krishna consciousness. What is the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our spiritual masters are giving us? They're giving us free access and entrance into Vrindavan Leela. And it is unquestionable that those who simply follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas and follow this sublime path of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and following very purely our life of devotional service, the association of devotees, this gift is being given, and the whole Srimad Bhagavatam culminates in Krishna's divine Leela, which we are reading now. And why did Krishna perform this Leela on earth? And why is Srimad Bhagavatam so much emphasized by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna's invitation to us. Come back home, back to Godhead. Here I am, this is what I'm doing. After hearing these beautiful stories, are you still attracted to the sense enjoyment of this material world which is full of disease and death? Come back home to me. This is where you belong. This is the land of love. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, during most of your lectures, you have been always emphasizing on the association of the devotees, establishing love and trust amongst each other, being the servant of all this. But so happens that as and when we slowly come into the association of these devotees, we become more close to them. When we try to find out their true qualities, we at the same time, we have a tendency to find out the other side also. We come to know about the other qualities also. Till that time, everything is nice. Like in the beginning, when everybody comes, when we are new, we find everyone to be very nice. But then as and when we associate with devotees, because we are on that neophyte stage, we just try to find out their other qualities also. We come to know the true nature. And then at the same time, we hear every now and then that you emphasize on establishing love and trust, associating with all the devotees. You've been emphasizing on the true qualities, on the qualities of these devotees. And when we associate with those devotees, we find that, well, it's not the same. It's not what Maharaj is saying, it's something else also. And then we slowly try to criticize them, do some offenses, either mental offenses, may not be physical offenses, but mental. So it becomes so difficult for us then. And sometimes we get some shock-like treatment also on and off. And we don't know like whom to take shelter of then. And even if we do take shelter of also, we are sometimes bewildered.
We have to know what love and trust means and what the true nature of devotees is.
To see the glories of the devotees does not mean that every devotee is 100% pure and completely transcendental, because devotees are working together and struggling together to help each other. This is love and trust. If you're expecting every devotee to be just a completely pure soul, then this is not realistic thinking. Most of the association of devotees may be a little ahead of you, or a little behind you, or walking along with you. Some may be very exalted, no doubt. But we should understand that whatever their situation is, they're trying to be Krishna conscious, and you're trying to be Krishna conscious. And we need to help each other. It's not a one-way street, in the sense it's not, it's reciprocal. If a devotee has some conditionings, we don't find fault with those. We sympathize with them. The person's trying to overcome them, just like you are. Help him. Let him help you, and you help him. That's what association of devotees is. The fact that they're trying to be Krishna conscious, the fact that they're coming into the satsang of Vaishnavas, the fact that they're diligently trying to chant the holy names and purify themselves is glorious. Whatever conditionings they may have, and whatever forms those conditionings may be manifesting themselves in a person, that is not very important. It is a very, very immature and neophyte idea to think that to find the good qualities in devotees means that that person has to be completely perfect and I don't see any bad in him. If you see it, it just doesn't matter. We have to be realistic. Devotees want to associate with you too. Are you perfect? Are you transparent? Do you have no anger, or no envy, no lust, no pride, no greed? Do you have anything like that in your heart? Of course you do. But yet, devotees are seeing you as a Vaishnav, and they want to associate with you. It is their good quality that they see that you're chanting Hare Krishna. You're honestly and sincerely trying to be a devotee. You do have certain shortcomings, and sometimes you even succumb to those shortcomings, but it's not very important. We want to help each other. We want to inspire each other. We want to enliven each other. We want to work together and progress together. Just like if you go into a classroom of students, obviously, there's going to be certain misbehavior and certain types of ignorance amongst the students in the classroom, otherwise they wouldn't be there. The teacher doesn't care. The teacher just knows because they're here, they're going to learn, however ignorant they are. I'm not going to chastise them because they're ignorant. I'm going to give them knowledge so they can come out of that ignorance. And the classmates amongst themselves, they may see that so many things that the teacher's teaching, you don't understand, and you don't understand, and you don't understand, and even I don't understand, so are you just going to fight and condemn each other and see faults in each other? No, you see, that just the fact that they're in this classroom, gradually all their ignorance is going to be dispelled, and that if they just listen to the lessons, they're going to be in knowledge. But it doesn't happen the first day of school. It takes the entire year to learn the lessons that that particular teacher is teaching. And then you go to the next grade, and the next grade, and the next grade. And in each grade, there's so much ignorance and shortcomings in each student, otherwise they wouldn't still be there. Do you understand? So do the classmates say, oh, you're ignorant. You don't understand what the teacher is going to teach tomorrow. Or you have not fully assimilated what the teacher taught today.
You don't think like that toward your fellow students. You think, oh, you're here, you're learning, you're trying your best. And so am I. Prabhupada used to say that the moon has pod marks. A very unfortunate person says, look at that ugly moon, there are pod marks in the moon. A fortunate person will say, how beautiful is the moon? And somebody says, huh, but don't you see those pod marks? Why you're saying it's so beautiful? But what is the significance of the pod marks? It's so beautiful, the full moon is lighting up the whole sky, there are volumes and volumes and volumes of illustrious rays flowing from the moon, giving such cooling, soothing light to the whole world. What are those pod marks? They are insignificant compared to the good quality of the full moon. In the same way, just the fact that someone is willing to take to Krishna consciousness and sincerely try to be a servant of the devotees is such an exalted quality. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Krishna says, out of thousands of men, one may even endeavor for perfection. And out of those, hardly one knows him in truth. So look at the material world. 99% of the population, minimum, are simply slaves of their false ego, of their mind and of their senses. And that's all they want in life, is to satisfy their ego, their mind and their senses. Even in the name of religion, they have no conception of trying to be humble, trying to be the servant of the servant, trying to purify themselves diligently through sadhana. How rare is such a person in this world? Look through the streets of Bombay, look at everybody. How many bad qualities will you find in them? And you come to the temple, and here are people who are struggling and striving and making all sorts of sacrifices to try to purify themselves and become devotees. They're trying to be humble. They're trying to be servants of God. They're trying to purify themselves in every way. They're coming. They're coming to the place where it can be done. Of everything else they could be doing in the world, they're coming to this temple because they want Krishna. Do you know how rare they are? Yes, certain conditionings that the material world has implanted within their minds may still be there, but they're striving to get rid of it. And sometimes those qualities come out, and sometimes they disturb us. But so what? It's meaningless. It means nothing. They are so exalted for simply coming to the right place for the right purpose. They are so rare. We need them. We need their support. And they need our support. We need each other. That's how we have to see Vaishnavas. Not that we should be so foolish to think we won't see any faults in them. We will see. But it doesn't matter. It has no significance. It's natural that it's there. When you go to a hospital, not everybody is dancing in ecstasy, but everyone's there to get cured. They've come to the right place, and they will be cured if they just remain. Association of devotees means that we help one another, and we see the glory of this in one another. We look for this glory, and we pay minimal attention to the other things. Prabhupada used to say, if someone's filthy, dirty, having not bathed in months, and he's in the shower and diligently scrubbing himself, and so much dirt is coming off, but he's still in the process of scrubbing, do you say, oh, you are so filthy, dirty? No, you say, oh, how wonderful. You're cleaning yourself. However dirty you may be is not important. The important thing is you're in the shower, you're getting clean. It's a matter of time till the dirt is gone. But in the meanwhile, I'm not so concerned with the dirt. I'm concerned that you stay in the shower. And you help me stay in this shower. We need each other. This is how we must see each other. They are insignificant. They are not relevant. The only relevance in a fault is when we see some shortcoming in a devotee, the only relevance we should see is such a wonderful soul trying to be Krishna conscious, but he's having this difficulty. Let me pray for him. Let me help him. Let me serve him by assisting him to overcome this shortcoming. That's how we should see the faults in devotees. Answer your question?
This last statement of yours, you said, let me help him, let me pray for him. How do you practically go about it?
It depends on the circumstance.
According to the Kala Desha Patra, the time, the place, and the person, you have to use your good intelligence or take guidance from senior Vaishnavas of how we can apply this principle. How to pray? Just to humbly offer our loving feelings toward Sri Radha Gopinath. And please help this devotee to overcome his difficulties and transcend whatever unfortunate conditions are upon him. That's how we can pray. We can also offer some of our own sadhana as a sacrifice for the welfare of that devotee. As far as how to directly help, it depends on the person. Either by preaching to him, or just by being nice to him, or by just giving support to him. Or sometimes, according to our position, by chastising him. Huh? But even when we chastise, of course, this is not our position to chastise others unless we have some authority to do so. We should not do it whimsically. Because if we're wrong, then we're committing some offense. But in whatever way, whether we're preaching, whether we're chastising, whether we're encouraging, whether we're just assisting that person, taking some of the load off that person, whatever it may be, it should be done in a mood of service. Should be done in a very positive state of consciousness. And I am helping. Huh? Each devotee that just comes to this temple to chant Hare Krishna, you owe them your life. Just by them coming and joining the kirtan with you, they are giving you such spiritual strength. And we should never forget that gratitude and that debt we owe to them. And if they're having some difficulty, it's our duty to try to help them, not to criticize them. If they're suffering some shortcoming, if they still have some anarthas, it is our duty to help them and let them help us as well. Because by giving them Krishna and allowing them to give you Krishna, by giving them devotional service and allowing them to give you devotional service, you're exchanging the highest principles of love. Despite your shortcomings. Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes the mother has to protect the child and says that it is nice that you should be friends with all, but she also cautions the child that certain persons should not be very close to the child. The mother, in good, out of concern for the child, takes care of the child and says she should not, the child should not associate with a particular person. Because there are different levels of associations also. If one is just being nice to someone, that is also associating. if one opens his mind and just listens to that person, that is also associating. If one sincerely serves the person, that is also associating. So it has to be very discriminately known how much association we should give. Secondly, sometimes a person may not be in a position to benefit the other person. He might be so new and so tender that he might be just affected by the other person. So in such cases, is it not better to take a medium path and as far as possible be nice to everyone, but then we just open our minds and take a service attitude to only those whom we are supposed to take from?
First of all, we should not associate with people who are criticizing other Vaishnavas, even if they're in the guise of devotees. And they may be nice devotees. They may be nice devotees, they may be having some difficulty, but if they're criticizing other Vaishnavas, unless we're in a very, very senior position, to be absolutely unaffected and to help that devotee, we should not hear it. You're not helping that person if he's criticizing other Vaishnavas. You are actually hurting him by taking part in his offense. Not only are you hurting him, but you're ruining your own spiritual life. That is of great importance. And we have to, as we said, and as Radhakrishna says, Kala Desha Patra, we have to understand according to time, place, and circumstance how we can best serve, how we can best help. If we become contaminated, if they create doubt in our mind, then are we helping them? People who are in the condition where they're creating doubt, just like if a devotee is going into a house of prostitution, are you advanced enough to go in? Better you don't. Better to just come to the temple and pray for him. Or some devotee who had on the platform of Lord Nityananda may have to go in and say, get out of here, you rascal. But if you cannot risk the sanctity of your own spiritual life to associate with the maya of another devotee unless you have that spiritual strength, unless you have that authority. This is very important. Asat sangatyaga avaishnavachar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there's two types of people we must not associate with. One is non-devotees, and the other is to people too much attached to sense gratification. What does that mean? That means devotees too much attached to sense gratification. We must learn how to be their servant, but we cannot associate with them in such a way that we are influenced and contaminated by them. So that we must be very careful of. We should not think that we are paramhamsas, that we are so advanced that we can subject ourselves to anything and not be affected. If somebody's criticizing other devotees, blaspheming other devotees, and they want to reveal their minds to us, we should know that it's not a service to allow them to reveal their minds to us. We should send them to somebody much senior to ourselves to deal with this situation. If we sit and let them reveal their minds to us, we will become contaminated and we're a part of the offense. Because it takes two to offend a Vaishnav. It takes one to speak and one to hear. And they are both conspirators. So many people are talking about conspiracies. But to speak against the Vaishnav and to hear those words is both a conspiracy. So in that way, we must know very carefully what is conducive to Krishna consciousness. And we must learn how to see the good qualities in all devotees, even if that person is blaspheming others or criticizing others.
we still see he's a devotee. He's chanting Hare Krishna. He's here. He's glorious. I'm not going to condemn him for this, but this particular type of anartha, we cannot go near. We have to keep a clear distance from it. Other anarthas, we can deal with more directly, but this anartha we have to just run from.
Sometimes, Maharaj, the person may be also not criticizing, also speaking very flowery language, maybe also glorifying other devotees. But what should be our yardstick, his actions or his words?
Both. Both. Words that are not supported by our actions have no substance. Krishna is more concerned with our intent than what we say. As I say, sometimes a senior Vaishnava will point out mistakes in another with the intent of just helping you to not be affected by that. So if it's quite obvious that the intent is one of negativity, then we must be very, very, very cautious not to be infected or affected by that. Does that answer the question?
Maharaj, when we see that love and trust amongst the devotees and we are feeling it within our hearts is at an ebb, then what are the positive measures that we should adopt as one family to again try to revive it and build it up? When we see that love and trust amongst the devotees, when we perceive it within our hearts is diminishing, then what positive measures should we use to try to build it up again?
One thing is we have to improve our own sadhana. Because if we do not have good sadhana, if we are not hearing sufficiently from sadhus, hearing from the scriptures, and we are not properly chanting the holy names of the Lord, and regulating our lives around Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, then we will not be able to have the proper vision. That is first and most important. We must improve our sadhana. And second of all, we have to have this mood of being servant. Just like one famous president of the United States of America, he made a statement, "Ask not what your country will do for you, ask what you will do for your country." It's not that when we come in the association of devotees, we're just expecting, what will you do for me? How are you helping me? How are you inspiring me? How are you enlivening me? You inspire them, you enliven them, you encourage them, you serve them. And the amazing thing is the more you do it, the more you see that they're also doing it. The more you don't do it, the more Krishna hides from you that they're doing it also. If you give love and trust, Krishna will reveal to you that there is so much love and trust around. But if you're not giving love and trust, Krishna will hide from you that anyone else is giving any love and trust. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudhoyam navijanati lokamam ajamavyayam ye yatamam prapadyante tam stadaiva bhajamyam. As you approach Krishna, he rewards you accordingly. If you're not giving, he'll cover you with the curtain of yoga maya and it'll appear that nobody's giving. If you're not showing kindness to others, he'll cover you with the curtain of maya and it'll appear that nobody's showing any kindness to anyone.
But if you're giving love and you're giving trust and you're really trying to help others, then you will feel and perceive that there's so much of that around you also. Huh? In giving we receive. And plus, the more you give, the more you will generate in their hearts the propensity to give. And the more you take, the more you're inducing other people to become selfish as well. So first, we must have very good sadhana. And second of all, we have to in our own life really strive to be a very, very positive, unpolitical, and caring element within the satsanga Vaishnavas. And if we perform that sacrifice, then not only will we be generating love and trust, but we will always also have a consciousness by which we can perceive the love and trust in others. Because the whole world is seen according to our consciousness. If you want to believe something, even if it's not true, you'll see it everywhere and you'll hear it everywhere. Right? It's the nature of the mind. It's the nature of Maya. So we have to be very careful that our conceptions are not necessarily the reality. And if we have good sadhana and we approach the satsanga Vaishnavas in a very positive spirit of Krishna Katha and seva and humility and trying to give love and give trust, we will receive it. We will experience it everywhere. And where we don't experience it, we won't find fault. We'll try to improve the situation. For devotees who have been in this movement for some time, this is the way they must see things. For new devotees, they don't have much to give. But Krishna, by his causeless mercy, will allow them, if they're just sincere, they'll just allow them to see all so much love and trust all around them. If they're not sincere, they won't see anything. But if they're sincere, even though they're not giving anything, they will be open enough to perceive all the good and all the love and all the devotion that's coming into their life. But after you receive so much, then you're responsible to give it. You can't just be like a new devotee all your life and just, everyone's so great except me, so let me just take all their mercy. Huh? But after you receive so much mercy, you must consider, now I'm even more of a servant than I was when I was new. Now I have to give that, what they've given to me, I have to give back to them. And if you're not willing to, Krishna will close your eyes. You will not see it. You will not feel it. You will not experience it. So for devotees who have been around and who have received so much, it's giving we receive. Strong sadhana and this very, very loving service attitude toward Vaishnavas will reveal everything to us. Anything else?
How do we help each other to feel a stronger sense of belonging to our family?
By chanting together, by dancing together, by taking prasad together, by speaking of Krishna together, by hearing of Krishna together, by encouraging each other with our sadhana, and by just helping each other in whatever way a person needs help. Whether it's physical help, mental help, spiritual help. If you're in need, devotees should help you. If somebody else is in need, you should do everything to help them. It's very simple. But it begins with Sankirtan. Learning to intimately chant and dance together in the glorification of God. If we take part in these beautiful Sankirtan services, every opportunity that we can, that is most important. When someone is sitting in this seat and giving a lecture to 300 devotees in this temple room, you should know that every devotee that is sitting there attentively listening is helping us so much. We're actually developing intimate relationships on a spiritual platform with everyone who's simply sharing the sound of Krishna's name together, or even sound of Krishna's teachings together. We're developing an intimate family relationship just by hearing together, by chanting together, by taking prasad together, and by just becoming friends with one another. On every level, friends. And as a servant, especially if we have been given much, we must be thinking how I can generate. We shouldn't just be like a sponge, always thinking, what will you do for me? What will you do for me? What will you do for me? But we should be thinking, what can I do for you? How can I listen so attentively that it will generate attention in the atmosphere? How can I chant and dance so enthusiastically that it will generate enthusiasm in kirtan? Huh? How will I be so nice to try to help whatever devotee I can in a positive way that I generate a spirit of service from other devotees? More mature devotees must think like that. New devotees, they should just come. They should just come, and they're alive, and they will make great spiritual advancement. But older devotees, they have to do more than just come. They have to come, but then they have to make sacrifice. They have to, what they have been given by Mahaprabhu, they have to try to give to the assembly of Vaishnavas by their energy, by their bhakti, by their kindness toward one another. Yes?
Maharaj, if we have already committed Vaishnava offense by listening to criticisms of devotees, how do we atone for it?
We should not listen anymore. That's the first thing. We should learn our lesson and say, I have done something very wrong and I will never do it again. And at the same time, the particular Vaishnav that you have offended by hearing these things, you should beg that person, please forgive me. I have listened to things that I should not have heard. And I have also thought like this. And also, you should really intensify your own sadhana and your own prayer to Krishna. Please forgive me. Please give me the strength to never do this again. And read the scripture with more intensity and chant the holy names with more intensity to rectify your consciousness. Hare Krishna.